In this story, it's a mom, a dad, and a little boy, but it could be any family configuration you like. And the mom says to the dad, "That was really boring." The dad says, "I know, right? I didn't get anything out of this sermon. The whole thing was just terrible." The little boy goes, "I don't know. I thought it was okay, especially considering it only cost you a dollar." I know you're going to miss my cheesy stewardship jokes. I know I will miss researching them on your behalf. But this is the last of our stewardship messages for this year. This is the end of our stewardship season. If you're thinking, "Oh no, I was supposed to bring my pledge card and I left it between the sheets of the cushions of my couch," never fear, we will still take it if it's late. But today is our dedication Sunday. If you've brought your pledge card, we hope to receive it, and we hope to go about the work of creating a faithful budget now. So today's message is the last, as I said, of our stewardship messages, and it's with one of the more challenging of the sort of stewardship passages that we've looked at so far. As we've thought about stewardship over the past few weeks, we've looked at some of the passages dealing with money and stewardship and faithful giving. And I've had a really great time chatting with all of you, not all of you, but some of you one-on-one, as we've talked about stewardship and finances and where our church is going, what are our gifts, what are our strengths, how are we going to put our budget together for this coming year. We've talked a lot about, say, the boiler, the need to fix it. We've talked about increased mission giving, talked about children's and youth programs. We've stressed out a little bit together about what it means to have a hole in our budget because of some of our rental income caused by the Lord John School not being able to be renewed. We've talked about what it means to trust in God for the future. And today we're wrapping up as we talk about this story of the parable of the 10 pounds. And you may know another similar story. It's the parable of the 10 talents. They're two very similar stories. And the basic premise is this. A landowner takes a whole wad of cash and he distributes it among 3 workers and tells them to take good care of his money while he's away. And the first invests it to the tune of a 10-fold return. What was 1 is now 10. I think all of us would be pretty excited about that sort of return on our money. And then the second is pretty impressive too. What was 1 is now 5. And I think we'd be happy with that as well, but it's the 3rd worker who catches our attention. He hides his pound in a handkerchief. And it's that person, that hider, that Scripture is really harsh about, because the landowner comes back and he's really angry that the person has done nothing to invest his money. The story tells us that the person who has the 1 pound is then gets that 1 pound taken away from him. And then the parable ends with these chilling words. "I tell you, to all those who have, more will be given, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." In our little Bible study before church, we decided that we didn't really like that verse. We'd like to strike it from the Bible, so it doesn't make much sense. That one who hides his pound in a handkerchief is intriguing to us. And it's the one that I want to spend a little time talking about this morning as well. It's really interesting what Jesus says and how harsh Jesus is about this one person. After all, we're kind of used to Jesus being a cheerleader for the underdog and the poor. We're used to Jesus giving lots of second and third chances. But in this case, Jesus is very harsh. He says, "Take that pound and give it to somebody who knows what to do with it." Jesus is very strict, talks about the landowner being very strict. One of the things that we learn in this story is a bit about motivation. We don't know anything about the motivation of the first two, the Scripture doesn't say. But we do know a little bit about the motivation of that 3rd person who hides his talent. He says he's afraid. He's afraid of the landowner because he knows that the landowner is harsh and unyielding and he doesn't want to get in trouble. But then the landowner really calls him out, calls his bluff and says, "That can't be true, because if you really knew how harsh I was and if you really knew that I was unyielding, would you not have at least put my money in the bank so it could have gotten a little bit of interest. No, what you did is hide your head in the sand, put it under a napkin, and walk away. This story, I think, is a story that's fundamentally about risk-taking and what it means to put our money in ways, or to invest our money in ways that can be considered risky. And I was thinking about risk-taking and thinking about some fun or funny examples of risk-taking, and I came across the story of the Japanese pufferfish fugu. Have you ever heard of this? Do you know what this is? So it's this sushi fish that's a delicacy in Japan, but it's a fish that's so toxic, it's a 1,200 times more poisonous than cyanide. So in order to prepare the fish, you have to go through special training. You have to actually eat the fish yourself as the chef to prove that you've butchered it correctly. But if you eat it, you're definitely going to die within an hour. And yet people, I mean, if you eat it, and there's still the poisonous part in it, you're going to die within an hour. But if it's butchered properly, then you'll live. But so people line up and they go to these special restaurants just to eat it. Why do they do that? Because they're risk takers, right? They enjoy living on the wild side. They enjoy taking a risk. And they've heard that this fish is more delicious and more, fancy because of this. There's a story, another story that I found while thinking about risk-taking of a risk management consultant who was leading a seminar on risk-taking and decision-making, and she took an I-beam and put it in front of the audience and said, suppose I had this, would anybody walk this I-beam for $20? And everyone says, yes, of course they would. Then she says, well, what if I took this I-beam and I suspended it up, 5 feet? Would you still walk it for $20? And people are like, yeah, I do that. And then she says, well, what if I put it 50 stories above the ground? Then would you walk it for $20? And of course, everybody says no. And she says, well, what about $100? No. What about $1,000? What about $1,000,000? Risk involves perspective. And I do think there's something to be said for being willing to take a risk. Maybe not for silly, poisonous sushi or stunts involving I-beams, but for the things that really matter. And what are the things that really matter? What are the things that are worth taking a risk on? I believe this is something that we need to think about and wrestle with as we think about what it means to be faithful with all of the gifts that God has given to us. And there's a book, it's called The Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, and the author's name is Robert Schnazy. I love that name, Robert Schnazy. And he talks about these five practices that make congregations survive and thrive, and which ones fade into obscurity. And he says that the five practices of congregations that make it and thrive and are vibrant are the following. Number one, radical hospitality. Number two, passionate worship. Number three, intentional faith development. Number four, risk-taking mission and service. And number five, extravagant generosity. And it's those last two, risk-taking mission and service and extravagant generosity, those two practices really go together in my book. We can and we should be extravagant in our generosity, but especially if it involves risk-taking, mission, and service. I had a mentor in seminary who told me about a church that he led early on in his career, and this church wanted to see low-income senior housing in their town, and there wasn't any, and they wanted to build it. And so the members of the congregation put up their own mortgages as collateral for the project. Is that risky? Yes. Very risky. Was it faithful to the gospel? I think it was. Don't worry, I'm not asking for your mortgage. At least not this year. But I do, there's like some uncomfortable laughter, like, is she going to do it another year? Should we leave? I do think, though, that we are called to take risks on behalf of others for the sake of the gospel. And if we don't do that, we're the kind of person that lives in fear, the kind who takes our money and our talent and hides it in a napkin. So I challenge you, I challenge me, I challenge all of us this year to think about what it means to do something that's a little risky on behalf of the kingdom of God. Maybe it's giving of our time in a way that we've never considered giving. Maybe it's volunteering to help at PADS when we've never done that before. Maybe we're wanting to give a little bit more of our treasure. Maybe we've already written out our pledge card, but we think we want to change it, hopefully to the good. So when you came in, Clayton and Sam were very generous to pass out these little hearts. And if you didn't get one, Tom's going to go get them and pass them out. You can go ahead and take a little heart. And so this heart represents your stewardship and your giving. Maybe you also have a pledge card that you're going to put in. Maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. We want your pledge cards back, but it's okay if you don't have it today. Just turn it in as soon as you can. Maybe what you want to pledge to God, though, it can't go on a pledge card. Maybe you want to pledge to God a deeper commitment to praying for our church, and there wasn't a space for that. Maybe you want to pledge volunteer time, and there wasn't a space for that. Maybe you want to pledge your whole mortgage. That wasn't on the card. So whatever you have to give or to pledge, maybe if it's just an intention to think about it or to pray about it, we want you to take that and hold it in your hand. And then in a little bit when the offering comes by, just go ahead and put this in the offering plate as a symbol of that. And you don't need to write anything on it. It's between you and God. You know what it is, and God knows what it is. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the gift of risk-taking, the gift of stretching ourselves to do something risky. Help us when we think about what it means to be faithful to the gospel in the area of mission and service, what it means to be extravagant in our generosity on behalf of those who need it. Help us, O God, to not live in fear, but to live with wisdom, with generosity, with risk-taking. Be with each of us as we think about what that means and what that looks like in our life, whether it means a commitment to pray more, to give more, to serve more. Maybe it means for us a commitment to not do any of those things, but to take some time to rest and recharge and recover. Be with each person as we think about our gifts. May they be used for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.